Matt Sullivan here to remind you to stop putting screens on your gutters. Better to schedule a free estimate with the local experts at Gutter Helmet so you stay off the ladder. Visit gutterhelmetindy.com. With Gutter Helmet, you'll never clean your gutters again. gutterhelmetindy.com.
Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock it!
Not just a little, but an awful lot of anti-Semitic crap happening on college campuses. My name is Jason Hammer. Big Nige is here.
Hello.
And let's go to the man that is in charge of everything in this country. The commander-in-chief, your president, wheeling, dealing, hair-sniffing, kiss-stealing Joe Biden.
I got hairy legs.
Happy birthday, dear Valerie. Katanji drowned Jackson.
So, Big Nige, simple question. Is Joe Biden helping matters with the way he's handling all of this anti-Semitic crap that's happening across this country?
You mean the pro-Hamas protests on several different high-value, highly esteemed college campuses? Is that what you're talking about?
And not just campuses. I mean, major cities. I mean, how often have we looked out on Monument Circle and saw, you know, the anti-Israel chants taking place with those folks?
I think what's going on is helping Donald Trump in a strange way. People see what's going on. People see the inaction of the president, his refusal to even basically acknowledge what's going on. I know he had some clip that we played yesterday, but it was really kind of a non-answer. I think it helps Donald Trump.
So, Joe Biden, did he have his quote, find people on both sides moment yesterday? Because if you remember,
this is what I'm talking about, yeah,
the media completely took out of context what Donald Trump said about Charlottesville, but Joe Biden, the Democrats, and about 90% of the national media were very effective at using that out of context.
He was saying, I mean, basically what Trump said, if he missed it, I mean, that was several years ago, there were people that were trying to wanted to save some of the controversial statues, don't erase our history.
Right.
And then there are other people there that would say, no, this offends me. We want these statues taken down. And then on the outskirts of that were the Charlottesville Nazi crazy tiki torch people.
Right. Here was the exact statement Donald Trump made after the Charlottesville situation.
You're changing history. You're changing culture. And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. But you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists, okay? And the press has treated them absolutely unfairly. Now, in the other group also, you had some fine people, but you also had troublemakers, and you see them come with the black outfits and with the helmets and with the baseball bats. You had a lot of bad people in the other group too.
So that was the full context of the, quote, find people on both sides clip.
As I like to call it, the Charlottesville hoax.
Right. Now, this was in speech yesterday, Joe Biden talking about what's happening on these college campuses.
Condemn the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
So he condemns the anti-Semitic protests, but I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians. So it's okay to yell death to America, death to the Jews, if you feel like you understand what's going on.
You don't understand what's happening with the Palestinians. Death to America.
And the thing is, Joe Biden launched his whole presidency on that. His initial kickoff video in 2019, heading into the 2020 presidential election, was all about Charlottesville and that hoax, as you said, Nige, from Donald Trump.
He said there were, quote, some very fine people on both sides. Very fine people on both sides? With those words, the President of the United States assigned a moral equivalence between those spreading hate and those with the courage to stand against it.
All right. for argument's sake here, let's just say you're somebody that agreed with what Joe Biden had to say in that clip when he kicked off his campaign. What are you saying now? Because it took 4 years for him to basically have his own find people on both sides moment.
And by the way, just a side, like Columbia University, as an example, where a bunch like the tent city, Gaza City tent cities set up. Imagine just, you know, you're a Jewish college student. You've realized your dream. You're going to a prestigious school to study whatever, computer science or whatever. And you got some moron yelling in your face about free Palestine and you know, so you know, say the words anti-Israel, say the words, you know, free Palestine. I just want to go to class. And now Columbia, by the way, has gone all virtual for the rest of the semester. That's $70,000 down the drain in my book.
Email from listener John. Hammer and Nigel, every member of the media should totally be embarrassed that they've missed such a huge story. Joe Biden's been in office basically our whole lives, and we're just now finding out that cannibals ate his uncle. Thank you for that, listener John.
People don't know what we're talking about. Just look it up. It's
he had a funny speech recently where he said his uncle Bosie was eaten by cannibals down in New Guinea.
Okay. The New Guinea folk, by the way, aren't very happy with that story either.
No. No.
A load of crap.
But the memes have been fantastic.
Yes.
So if you've got a good Uncle Bosie Cannibals meme, post it out there on social media and be sure to tag us here at the Hammer and Nigel Show. All right. So this is a discussion that's happening on Reddit. Again, I don't know why, but I've really been into Reddit recently.
You go down those wormholes on Reddit, you're stuck in them for hours.
Right. I mean, it's the wild, yeah, wild west of social media. So the question becomes, do you wear your underwear to bed that you've had on all day? The underpants that you've had on all day long, assuming you haven't, you know, worked out, got super gross, super sweaty, do you wear that to bed? Now, what I discovered going down this rabbit hole on Reddit, Nige, is that this was really a hot topic for women. One user, a female, said, quote, "I do. I shower in the morning, so I get up, shower, put on clean undies. If I work out during the day, I change them. But if I don't, I wear the same ones all day and sleep in them. Apparently, that's disgusting based on the feedback that I'm seeing."
Well, I'm gym shorts. I'm everything off except the gym shorts.
Same
That's
here.
What I do.
And then pair of basketball shorts and nothing
and then,
else.
And then tomorrow, like the next day, no shower Saturday, I'll put the same pair of boxers on I was wearing yesterday. Yeah. So what? I do it, but I don't sleep in them now.
Allison, maybe this is a female thing. Do you wear the same pair of drawers to bed that you've had on all day?
I'm literally this user. Yes, I shower in the morning, wear clean ones, and then if I don't work out or do anything gross,
yeah,
I don't understand. It's not even wearing them 24 hours.
But see, this woman said that, and she was getting judged by the comments. That's disgusting. That's gross. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
I think there's a lot grosser things you could do.
Right. Like eating in the bed, like we talked about yesterday, you know, getting chicken grease and crumbs and cookies in the bed, rolling over
with
on
no
that.
With no underwear on.
With no underwear on is a lot grosser than just wearing the same pair of drawers from the day to the night.
But I can't sleep. Even if it's just my boxers, I feel like that's uncomfortable, and not a pair of gym shorts on over them. Because the boxers are shorter and they bunch up.
Yep.
And I gotta have it all loose down there at night.
Same way. I wear loose like basketball shorts to bed, nothing else. If the basketball shorts are dirty, I have to make that decision of, are they dirty enough to wear? Can I turn them inside out? Or do I just want to sleep naked? Those are the options. So hit us up on social media. What's the norm here? Is it gross to wear the same pair? Does it make a difference if you're a man or a woman?
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I got a feeling.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Let's see. Pacers plus one tonight. in Milwaukee. So that's not a very big number, is it?
No, Milwaukee is the favorite tonight by one, though. Down from 1.5 earlier this morning. Giannis, the best player for the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo, probably still out, listed as doubtful for tonight. And based off the way they played without him in game one, the Bucks are like, get as much rest as you need right now and come back 100% healthy. Pacers got to have it tonight, man.
But as bad as the Pacers played on Sunday, you would think the spread would be bigger.
Yeah, I guess odds makers are thinking, all right, after that first half, Pacers actually were respectable. And Dame Lillard, the Bucks star, one of the Bucks stars, went on a generational run in that first half and had 35 points. They're banking that he's not going to do that again. He's still going to put up some points. He's a great player, but they're banking it's not going to be 35 in the first half. And maybe, just maybe, the Pacers don't go 8-for-36 from the three-point line. It was bad, man.
When you put it like that.
But you know what? I'm optimistic.
Look,
I think the
you.
Pacers get a win tonight. I'm going Pacers money line. I'm making a guarantee to you tonight. I guarantee the Pacers win this game, or I will shave off my iconic beard and mustache.
Narrator. But he doesn't have an iconic beard or mustache.
8:30 tip-off tonight. Now, the game on television is on NBA TV nationally. I don't know how many people have that, but that's the national feed. And locally, Bally Sports Indiana. And a lot of people have had a hard time getting Bally Sports Indiana. So if you don't have either one of those outlets, you're kind of SOL and you're banking on Mark Boyle on the radio on our sister station, The Fan. But just to get a little good mojo, to get some good juice going into this game with the Bucks tonight, let's jump in the old hot tub time machine and go back to the year 2000. NBA playoffs, first round. This is back when the first round was best of five. So this was the deciding game five. Pacers were the one seed in the East. And it required a last second three-pointer in the corner by Travis Best to defeat the Milwaukee Bucks.
Out of the corner, Best!
Pacers went on to the NBA Finals that year.
Yeah, lost to the Lakers eventually, but what a great run. Man, that was a good year.
So Jim Irsay spoke to CBS4's Mike Chappell, longtime Colts reporter, Beech Grove High School Hall of Famer, Mike Chappell.
Really? So you have something in common.
Yeah. Now, Irsay told Chap that he's still in control of the Indianapolis Colts, and he says his current health issues didn't include an overdose, which was the documented reason that police and paramedics responded to his house on December 8th. Remember that 911 situation where they had to go to Irsay's house in Carmel? Quote, it wasn't an overdose. I don't know why when you have your name in the paper in the past, people throw that out there so quickly. I don't pay attention to it all that much, but I don't think it's fair. And then Irsay goes on to say he was treating a leg injury that had developed a serious hematoma.
Okay, so look, I said all along when all that stuff went down, I have no idea what happened. Maybe he accidentally mixed medications. Maybe he accidentally took too much of a medication. Maybe he had some sort of respiratory illness and that exacerbated it. I had no clue what happened. Now, the word overdose was mentioned, though, in the police report?
Yes.
Possible overdose.
Correct.
Okay.
So you're buying Irsay's explanation here because, listen,
I'm just saying I don't know.
It's a tough one for me. So according to Jim Irsay, these paramedics that are responding to his house in Carmel don't know the difference between an OD and a leg injury. That's what I'm expected to believe here. The paramedics and the first responders, and if you're going to Jim Irsay, I'm sure you're probably somebody that's pretty good. They don't know the difference between an OD and leg hematoma. That's a tough sell, man.
Fair enough.
Like, if you believe that, then maybe you can tell me more about Uncle Bosey being eaten by cannibals in New Guinea. Again, none of us were there, but that's an awful, tough explanation for all of us to buy. According to a new poll, 12% of people say they actually have had their mouth washed out with soap by their parents.
Oh, really? Are you serious?
Remember the scene in A Christmas Story?
Yeah, of course.
Over the years, I got to be quite a connoisseur of soap. My personal preference is for Lux, but I found Palmolive had a nice piquant after-dinner flavor. Heady, but with just a touch of mellow smoothness.
12% hey, man, say they've had that happen.
Trust me, I would have much preferred soap in my mouth as opposite, you know, as opposed to the spankings I got from the old man when I was a kid. I would have chosen the soap every time, but that choice was never given to me. So this really doesn't have any meaning to me whatsoever. I was never given the choice of the belt or the soap.
Soap, please.
Soap, Dad, soap.
You can spit the soap out. That welt stays there.
Yes.
Let us know if you've ever had soap in your mouth on purpose as like a way for your parents to discipline you. Like, we've seen it in the movies. We've seen it in Christmas Story. We've heard it from like back in the day.
Something tells me the Hammer household didn't take that approach either.
No, we were not soap in the mouth people. We were more get your bleep together and smack on the backside kind of people. But if you've had it, let us know. At Hammer and Nigel, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're on the YouTube chat. Jump in. Be part of the show.
I'm just a kid and life is a nightmare.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Oh, hello. My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there. Also joining us live in studio, Matt Bear, the traffic beast. Looking at this headline, WIBC.com. Indianapolis to launch ramp metering on 465.
What?
Never heard of it before until I've seen this headline.
I've seen the construction taking place because one of them is right there by Emerson Avenue in Beech Grove. Emerson taking you to 465. And basically, Matt, tell me if I have this right. You get ready to merge onto the highway, but if the light's red, you have to stop. And then when it turns green, you got to drop the damn hammer like you're John Force doing a drag race to get into the flow of traffic. Do I have this correct?
It's like your bootlegged moonshine in NASCAR back
right
in the day. That's pretty much it. This is ramp metering. It's going to have stoplights on some of these on-ramps on the southwest side, and it's to limit traffic. I don't want to say limit, but kind of slow traffic onto the interstate as you make your way off.
Well, yeah, it slows it down by stopping it when you're trying to merge on.
Right. Now, remember, as I understand it, okay, and I'm talking to Nat here in a couple of days, and we're straightening some of this out. There are some questions that I have for them, but as I understand it, these aren't going to be used like during peak travel times is when the actual stoplights are going to be in effect. Otherwise, they're just going to be flashing yellow. But outside of that, when they are in use, you'll see a red light. You'll see a green light. And when the light is red, you stop, and then it goes green. One car gets through. Red, green, red, green.
Wouldn't that back up the exit ramp, though?
Well, that's a really good question. Yeah, that's a really good question. And as I understand it, when these ramps get backed up and they get really busy, then they're going to start letting cars through more than one at a time or start to speed up the process a little bit. Yeah.
So these areas, and again, I know them because they're on the south side, they get pretty backed up, right? 465 by Beech Grove, by Emerson, at 515, 520, it is backed all the way up. Is this supposed to alleviate that? Or if you're somebody that's trying to go from Emerson to the highway, it's just going to make it even worse. It's going to take longer.
Guys, here's what I think's happening here. Too many damn people are wrecking on 465 right now. I call it Thunderdome. It is an absolute monstrosity of an interstate. Everybody is getting hit. And the problem here is me and people who are distracted driving. And that's not going to get any better anytime soon. I'm not saying I'm an advocate for ramp metering. I do know it's in every major market across the United States of America in some way, shape, or form.
Okay.
Sometimes it's timed. Sometimes it's saying, okay, it's going to be specific to these travel times here in Indianapolis. We actually have sensors in the ground that's going to be able to tell us when and when not these peak travel times are happening. So
the people who bring us the conditions that the roads are in now want us to say, we trust that you'll get these sensors right.
Well, and I understand the speculation totally, and I'm totally on board with that. But it's not going to be so much monitored by people, but they have these sensors in the ground, kind of like you're alluding to right now, where the 465 sensors are going to be able to tell when we're at a peak travel time right now. Yeah.
So we can put sensors under the freaking ground, sharks with laser beams on their freaking head, but we can't fix the potholes.
Well, we can't fix the potholes, right? And we have a monstrosity of a construction zone up on the northeast side through 2025 or at the end of 2024.
So this is supposed to kind of begin next week. You're going to start seeing the flashing yellow lights next week just as a reminder, hey, this is about to start soon. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, it's 2 weeks where these lights on these ramps will start being functional.
Starting Monday. They say on or after Monday, there's going to be flashing yellow lights throughout the entire week on these ramps. And what we're talking about is an area on the southeast side of 465 from Washington Street down to Emerson Avenue, I believe. I left my notes back in the traffic center.
It's Emerson, but, southeastern, Shadeland, Brookville,
yeah,
and Washington.
Southbound, yeah. Southeastern is going to be the only one in that 74 southeastern interchange that's going to be affected. That's a big deal. But they're going to be flashing yellow lights on those ramps, on the on-ramps only, okay? Not on the exit ramps. This isn't limiting us off 465, just on. And then the week after, May 6th, is when we're actually going to have the metering, and I would expect that to be happening during rush hour, like, say, maybe about, I don't know, an hour from now when things get really nasty out on the interstate.
As the unofficial spokesman for the motorists on the south side of town, my people don't handle roundabouts well, let alone sensors in the ground and stopping on the ramp. Like, I'm a little concerned about this, Matt.
I totally get it, and especially about the roundabouts. I mean, I don't go near Carmel. I just don't. But think about the roundabouts, okay, when they first started building them and everybody's making fun of Carmel. And now when I go through a roundabout and I know how to do it, there's nothing I'd rather have on the road, really. I love the roundabouts. I hate stoplights, and this might be the same thing. Again, it's something new to us. It's something that the rest of America is doing right now. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. But if it prevents crashes and accidents,
okay,
I want to give it a run. I'm about safety right now. I'm tired of people getting hit. I'm tired of crashes. I'm tired of distracting driving. And right now, this is one of the consequences of that.
Joyce on the YouTube chat, California has had these ramp meter lights for many years. They're not a problem.
Okay, sure. Maybe they will be, guys. I don't know. And somebody brought up the question of enforcement. And again, this is something I'm talking in out on Thursday morning about this, and that's something I'm going to ask him. How do you enforce this? And I heard Rob Kendall today bring up the excellent point of the no right on reds here downtown. How do you enforce that?
And narrator, they don't.
Oh, and they don't enforce it. No, it's just having them there. I mean, if that could limit a crash or two, or save somebody from getting hurt, or save somebody from, or even a fatality, then yeah, I'm leaning towards the fact of trying it out.
All right.
And trying to have, maybe we need this. But time will tell on this, on all this.
I'll give them a chance.
Sure.
I will. I'll totally give them a chance. It just seems odd going from zero to get your ass into the, you know, fast part of 465.
Yeah, and it is odd. And listen, this is 465 has more problems than the southeast side here. Right now,
Jay-Z thinks they have a lot of problems on 465.
Going from southbound 65 to westbound 465 on the south side, you have less than a quarter of a mile to hit that main line, to hit that right lane on the main line, or you're off in the grass. You're off in somebody's soccer field. So, I mean, this is an interstate with two construction zones that are absolute meat grinders right now. And I'm not saying that this is going to be a cure-all. I'm saying if it's going to help us be a little bit safer, a little bit more crash-free, then I'm willing to give it a shot.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I tell you what, you have your conversation with the NDOT folks, and when you come back on our show on Friday, update us on it.
Yeah, you can tar and feather me if you want. That.
That's the traffic beast, Matt Bear,
guys,
ladies,
buddy,
and gentlemen. So, Nigel, let me ask you a question. Do you buy this survey? According to a survey, a third of Americans wouldn't actually mind living in a van down by the river.
What?
5 years old, I am divorced, and I live in a van down by the river.
Famous line from Chris Farley, but according to a survey, 30,000 people were polled, and 36% of them say van life, living in a van down by the river, is something they would consider.
I don't believe that. I would consider that a failure in my life, actually.
You don't feel like living in a big, comfortable van where you can stretch out in the back and wake up?
I'll go camping in a van down by the river for a week. I'm not going to live in a van down by the river for the rest of my life. Or like houses, or like, you know, indoor plumbing.
36% of 30,000 people.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Did you see this new billboard that got put up on 70 near West Street by Lucas Oil?
Oh, the FOP?
Yeah.
Put that up.
Big, right? FOP billboard that says, "We can't help if we're not there. IMPD is down 350 plus officers." So it's designed to, I think, try to get some recruitment into the IMPD, sure, but also serve as a reminder, we're down 350 officers in this city.
Not to worry, though, Joe Hogsett's bringing in outside help to figure out why there's so many police shootings. IMPD.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe because there's more bad guys feel emboldened.
Judges and prosecutors refusing to put tough sentencing on pieces of crap? Maybe. Like, we talked about this before. Is this report that the mayor's working on going to be like the one that happened about the riots? Yeah. Well, IMPD officers wore riot gear to a riot, and that really sent the wrong message to the rioters. Oh, okay. Well, thank you for that. All right. We have got some tickets to give away.
Do we?
Roger Daltrey coming to Indy, and we're going to play a fun round of Roger Daltrey or Committed Adultery. Caller number 9 right now, 239-9393. That's the number. 239-9393. Caller number 9. Good luck.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Couple different contests going on. The contest page at WIBC.com. Giving away Grand Prix tickets. The last chance to win tickets to our sold-out Tales from the Track event presented by Relay Indiana. We've got Grand Prix tickets to give away later, but right now, caller number 9, Marta, you get the opportunity to win some Roger Daltrey tickets. Marta, how are you?
I am doing very well. Thank you very much.
All right, so this is the game we're going to play here. It's called Roger Daltrey or Committed Adultery. I'm going to give you a statement that is true. You simply tell me if it's a statement about Roger Daltrey or if it's someone who has committed adultery. You get 2 out of 3. I'm going to give you these tickets, okay?
All right.
Number 1, Roger Daltrey or Committed Adultery was a band member in The Who.
That would be Roger Daltrey.
That would be Roger Daltrey. All right.
Still got it, by the way. Killer voice.
Yeah, totally.
Thank you.
Get this one right, we're going to throw a party. Roger Daltrey or Committed Adultery, Tiger Woods.
That would be Tiger.
That would be Roger Daltrey or Committed Adultery.
Oh, Committed Adultery.
There we go. Marta, congratulations. You got a couple tickets to go see Roger Daltrey playing at the Old National Center June 27th. Make sure you take somebody with you that's going to drive because you get to celebrate because you won the tickets.
Woohoo! Thank you so much.
You got to stay on the line and Allison will take care of you. Nige, a 40-year-old man in Colorado, has been found guilty of multiple charges. And it all started after he went through a Burger King drive-thru, was rejected when he tried to pay for the meal with meth.
Hey, so I don't have any cash or credit cards, and here's a bag full of crystal.
The Burger King employee then said, no, we don't take meth. So the guy pulled a gun out, didn't pull the trigger, drove off. But the Burger King employee called the authorities.
Something funny to me about having the Burger King employee actually having to say the words, no, I'm sorry, sir, we don't expect meth as a form of payment. MasterCard, maybe?
And this is my favorite part of the police report. The guy was ultimately arrested, and it turns out that he pulled a similar stunt at the 7-Eleven that was across the street. But the 7-Eleven employee didn't call the cops.
Yeah, I don't want to mess with it.
So what has this 7-Eleven employee seen that warrants calling the cops and what doesn't? Because I'm willing to bet this guy has probably seen some things at that 7-Eleven.
That's an average Tuesday for the 7-Eleven guy.
Right. Like some new trainees like, oh my God, that guy tried to pay in meth. Should we call the cops? No, just
get about it. Yeah.
Wait till he brings in a flamethrower. That's when you know it's time to call the police. So note to self, you cannot pay for your Burger King meal with meth.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up next, we've got a little gubernatorial debate tonight here in the great state of Indiana. But it's going to be missing one of its major players. But fear not. Rumors of an AI replacement are on the way.
Oh, my.
Hammer and Nigel.
You believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock it.
Yeah, Hammer, I just texted the wife. I told her to tap that keg, fire up the smoker, get the wings ready. There's another Indiana GOP debate tonight.
Let's go!
Gubernatorial debate, woo! As they say.
The electricity is running through your veins.
You ask me, I mean, you can pretty much guess what I'll be watching tonight, the Pacer game and or this debate.
Well, you might be able to have time for both. Pacers don't start until 8:30, Nige. Okay. So you can get all the debate action you can handle. Now,
and we're going to have it here, right here on the 7 o'clock WIBC, right?
Yeah. Tony Kennett's show being preempted by the gubernatorial debate tonight. Now, the front runner, Mike Braun, will not be at this debate. He put out a tweet about 30 minutes ago. Quote, I was looking forward to sharing my vision with Hoosiers at tonight's debate, but Chuck Schumer has called the Senate into session tonight. I'm in D.C. voting no on a bill to send $95 billion of your money overseas instead of securing our open southern border.
Good for him.
So he goes on and on and on. So the front runner.
I wonder who Todd Young is going to vote for.
Boy, he's probably got the flag ready to wave when it passes through the Senate tonight. That happened in the House.
Oh, yeah. No, trust me. I know.
They started chanting, Ukraine, God, Ukraine.
Ukraine should be waving the American flag anytime they get a chance over there with as much money as we get in them.
But the front runner, according to all the polling, Mike Braun will not be at this debate tonight. The other five candidates will be. Chambers, Crouch, Doden, Hill, and Rittenauer, they're all going to be there. So if you want to hear what they have to say, you can listen starting at 7 o'clock right here at 93 WIBC. Now, since Mike Braun can't make it tonight, and again, the polling shows he's the front runner, we've got the next best thing. We've got AI Mike Braun ready to give what would have been his opening statements to everybody at this debate.
So which one of you losers is going to finish second? I mean, look at this group. It looks like the worst table at every wedding. Chambers thinks Holcomb deserved an A for his time in office. I know 420 was a few days ago, but he may still be high. Silent Suzanne sat right next to Lockdown McGee and didn't say a word. Jamie Ridenour's highlight was debating against Rob Kendall. I think I speak on behalf of all my supporters when I say that I hope Rob gets the worst case of herpes the planet has ever seen. Let's see who else is on the stage tonight. Curtis Hill wears way too much cologne, and I don't even know who Eric Doden is. I thought he worked at a McDonald's or something. I could show up and debate, but I've got more important things to do. Have fun with your JV debate tonight. Mike Braun out.
That's AI Mike Braun with opening statements for the debate tonight.
Incredible.
Allison, let's do some legal stuff.
Dang.
Crime, punishment, judges, legal stuff. Donald Trump, the hush money trial continues, Nige. And there's a former tabloid executive testifying today that he helped broker the hush money deal between Trump and Stormy Daniels.
David Pecker, I believe, is who you're talking about. Pecker.
Pecker is the name.
The old Peckster. I think he ran the National Enquirer or something like that, put out a bunch of favorable stories towards Trump.
Correct.
Yeah, but and right possibly helped negotiate some of this, some of the quote unquote hush money, which was really just you know, a non-disclosure agreement, a legal document that Stormy Daniels signed and then broke.
Now, I know everybody's expecting me to make some joke about Stormy Daniels and a guy named Pecker, but I'm not going to do that.
You're very mature.
I've grown up a lot. I'm not like Allison over here. I don't find humor in every single joke, any phallic reference. So Pecker's testifying today, and he's saying that he was a big part of brokering this deal that paid off Stormy Daniels. But you point out quite frequently, Nige, if anybody should be paying anybody off, it should be Stormy paying off Donald Trump.
Well, not only that, she still owes him a few hundred grand in lawyer's fees after losing the defamation trial.
Right. There's that. And she violated the NDA. But that's for another time. Also today, the judge, Merchan, had a heated exchange with Donald Trump's lawyers in court. And they're upset that the old man's violating the gag order. You know, trying to get Donald Trump to keep his mouth shut with this gag order.
That ain't going to happen.
Ain't going to happen.
I mean, every time he goes into that courtroom, he talks to the press. Every time he comes out of the courtroom after the day is over, he talks to the press.
The judge could really sentence Donald Trump up to 30 days in jail for violating the gag order.
We'll see if that happens.
He could also fine Donald Trump. Check this out. For one potential juror and Donald Trump's current trial, it came as a total surprise what she was being considered for. But it was another thing that she found notable. Again, this was a potential juror.
Okay.
Here she is being interviewed outside the courthouse after being dismissed.
I was shocked. I was sitting 6 feet away. And when I realized that Trump is there, I was like, oh, wow. I couldn't believe it. Everybody was shocked. Everybody was frozen. You know, he looked less orange. I think he looks bored. Like, he wants this to finish and go do his stuff.
He looked bored and less orange. That's what she got out of that whole proceeding.
He wasn't as orange as I was expecting.
Nothing about the two tiers of justice or the weaponization of the Justice Department. It's, yeah, one as orange as I thought.
More legal stuff here. Allison, can I get some mood music, please?
I'm a savage. Yeah. Classic, bougie, ratchet.
Now, it's your kids. Listen to Megan Thee Stallion. They into the hip hop, Nige.
Yeah, I think if the kiddie station plays this down the dial, then yeah, they probably. I've not heard that particular song before, though.
So Megan Thee Stallion is being accused of harassment by a cameraman who's on the road with her. The cameraman alleges that he was trapped inside of a moving vehicle with Megan Thee Stallion and a couple other people, and he was forced to watch Megan have relations with another woman.
Oh, the horror! I said horror.
Thank you. Either way, you might be right. I don't know. He's filed a lawsuit accusing the entertainer of harassment and a hostile work environment, according to the suit filed in Los Angeles County Superior Court. The statement says that Megan warned him, don't ever discuss what you saw, and then berated the cameraman and fat-shamed him.
Well, she's no skinny marink herself.
She's curvy.
She's healthy.
She's thick, spelled with a couple C's, I believe, if I'm doing this correctly. But imagine this poor camera guy. You know, he's getting paid. He's going out on the road with a major, you know, hip-hop star. And now he's getting yelled at. Look, fatty, you're going to watch me have relations with this other woman. And if you don't like it, you can get out. You're fired and you're fat. Like, man, this turned out to be a dream opportunity.
It ended up being
a horrible, horrible situation for this guy.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Hammer and Nigel presents
is
it depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Is
This, anything.
All right, let's rock and roll.
Hammer, how do we play? Is this anything?
I am going to run a couple different stories by you. These aren't headline stories. These are kind of back page stories. You will be the one that breaks down all the information and gives us a verdict. Is the story anything or not?
All right.
Is this anything? There's a trend on social media of people washing their shredded cheese before eating it. There are some anti-caking agents in it.
What?
But you don't have to wash it. You could also just shred it yourself.
Is that right?
Here's a woman on TikTok washing her cheese and giving a taste test to both the washed shredded cheese and unwashed shredded cheese.
We're going to wash the shredded cheese. It's supposed to make it taste better. Washing something off of there.
Oh, it is cloudy coming off of there.
Yeah.
Look at the difference.
You can see the difference. Look at that. You know you can actually feel all that stuff on this cheese.
Now you're thinking about it, you feel it.
It feels so much cleaner.
Like it's cleaner.
More, it's more smoother than this cheese right here.
I'm so glad they're banning TikTok. This is the kind of content we get. Two hillbillies washing their shredded cheese on TikTok. I've never done that before in my life. What's an anti-caking agent? Like, sometimes I'll stick my hand in some, you know, like Taco Tuesday, taco night at the house, and I'll put some shredded cheese, some Mexican cheese, and I'll see some white powdery substance on it. Maybe that's the anti-caking agent so it won't clump. That's the only thing I could think of, but I don't know who thought of this, who's entertained by this. And meanwhile, in China, they're showing their kids science, arithmetic, you know, history, math, whatever. And here in the United States, yeah, let's do a taste test and wash the cheddar cheese.
Okay, I hear your rant. I hear what you're saying. But devil's advocate, could these hillbillies look at you and say, you were washing your produce individually during COVID? You were wiping down beer cans during COVID?
I did that once for half a case, and I quickly came to my senses. Now, I do wash apples. Like, if I cut up an apple, I wash it. I rinse it off. I don't use soap. And I, you know, if we get a thing of grapes or something.
But you used to take the Clorox wipes to beer when COVID first happened.
I did it for half a case.
Okay.
Which came to the realization that we're all idiots.
Allison, hit me with a little jelly roll, please.
Oh, yeah.
Only talk to guy when I need a stranger.
I think jelly roll might agree with you in regards to TikTok. Country rapper Jelly Roll no longer uses the internet because he got sick of being bullied about his weight on social media. Here's his wife talking about it.
My husband got off the internet because he is so tired of being bullied about his weight. And like, that makes me want to cry because he is the sweetest angel baby. My husband doesn't show it to you guys, but I'm going to have a very vulnerable moment here. It hurts him. The internet can say whatever they want about you. And they say, well, you're a celebrity. You're supposed to be able to handle it. We're not. Enough is enough. Don't bully people because you never know where they are mentally.
And by the way, Jelly Roll's like lost 100 pounds or so. He's right on some big mission to lose a bunch of weight. He's morbidly obese. Who was the obese rapper that recently quit the business because of... Am I going to be a little more specific?
I don't know.
Who's the one that wears the thong on stage all the time?
Oh, Lizzo.
Lizzo, yes.
She's back doing music
again. She's back.
Yes.
That was a very quick retirement. Yeah, and with the social media stuff, just don't check your mentions. You can get on social media. Just don't check your mentions, right?
I check my messages. I get called fat ass all the time. But here I am. I'm not wanting sympathy or wanting applause for I'm going to get rid of social media because it's too toxic. If you want to do it, fine. But why are we talking about it, right? Talking about getting rid of your social media. You might as well just have social media.
Yeah, and I realize, again, going back to my previous comments, I should have been a little more specific when I mentioned an obese female rapper.
Yeah.
There's a lot to choose from.
There are. There's a lot of fatties out there. And again, I can say this because I'm fat. I can say some of these things that other people can't.
You can make fun. You are one.
Right. And like Jelly Roll, I'm trying to lose weight too.
Hell yeah.
But I don't want all the, well, he's doing it without social media because it's too toxic. No.
Yeah,
it's motivating for me. If I don't lose weight and I got to pay Rob Kendall and somebody calls me fatty, best believe I'm going to the gym a little bit more the following week. Allison, give me some more mood music, please. According to a new survey, one out of five Americans are thinking about planning their next vacation while on their current vacation. And on top of that, the average American wants to spend 15 days of their PTO on vacation. Is this anything?
Yeah, we were doing that on our last vacation. We were looking at houses for fall break. That at AMI. We were in Destin, near you, near where you were staying. We were at Miramar, but we totally were looking at houses and a couple different options for October.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Nothing wrong with planning ahead. Like, I love planning vacations. Like, I could do that in another life. You know, I love what I do here, but I could totally be like a vacation planner and line up fun things to do and travel and see all these things. I could totally rock that out.
It doesn't take much for me, though, on vacation, if that surprises you. Maybe a couch at night, a beach for the day.
Allison's laughing at you. A couch, a bottle of Jack.
Most people just their first thing is, you know, beach or, you know,
I
alcohol
the
or something.
Couch.
Use this couch.
I Look, honey, they've got a couch here and everything.
Let's go to Muncie. We can find a couch there.
We can sit on a couch outside here in West Virginia. It's amazing.
Okay. That is a little strange the way I put that. I'm just saying, it just I'm an easy, like, I don't have to be at the beach all day, every day for 8 hours a day. Occasionally I'll come in and, you know, just watch some TV, some sports. Like on Sunday, I remember last October specifically watching that awful, was it the Colts and the Jets? Who did the Colts play last October? They just got blown out by it. It was an awful, awful game. Anyway, I was saying I'm very simple when I'm on vacation. That's
just
all
need
it
a
takes.
Couch.
I just give me a couch and maybe a side table to put my drink on and maybe an ottoman to put my feet up.
A couch at a table and Nige is a happy man. It's a trailer park somewhere in the middle of Alabama, but there's a couch in there and there's a table to Nige, just like being in Hawaii.
Yeah, I'm on vacation, baby. Let's go.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Listen to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Still seeing anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, pro-Hamas protests across the country on major college campuses. And I'm glad to see there is some pushback, Hammer. I know that, I've seen pro-Israel demonstrations, not to the level of the anti-Semitic demonstrations. But, for instance, Robert Kraft, the Patriots, pulled all his funding from Columbia University. So it's nice to see some pushback. And it's even seeping out, like, into other areas, not just college campuses, like coffee shops. Tell me how you feel about this one. Some anti-Israel pro-Hamas protester got up in Alec Baldwin's face at a coffee shop. It's a coffee shop or a diner of some kind. Just sitting there, he's trying to make an order. And so listen as this lunatic on camera keeps yelling at Baldwin and puts her phone right up near his face. And listen to what he does at the end. He swats the phone away.
Alec, can you please say Free Palestine one time? Why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time? No jail time, Alec?
Sorry.
No jail time, Alec. You're putting innocent people in jail, Alec Baldwin.
I'm so sorry.
Free Palestine, Alec, just one time, and I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone, I swear. Just say Free Palestine one time. One time. One time.
Call the police.
One time, Alec. You know he's a criminal. You know he's a f***ing criminal. Come on, Alec, just say Free Palestine one time. One time, just one time, please. Oh. And I'll leave you alone. Free Palestine. F*** Israel. F*** Zionism. Please say it. One time.
Could you do me one quick favor?
Hey, do me one quick favor. Knocks it out of her stupid hand. I don't like Alec Baldwin. But I don't like this woman. I mean, it's tough to get me to find somebody that's less likable than Alec Baldwin.
Right.
And by the way, even if I did believe, which I don't, but if I did believe the things that she was saying, free Palestine, whatever. I'm not going to force somebody else to say it. You got to say it, Alec. You got to say it, and then I'll leave you alone. Well, no, weirdo, you should be leaving me alone anyway and getting out of my personal space.
Do you know who you're talking to?
Yeah.
He's killed one person before. You're lucky you weren't number two.
And by the way, she goes, it's the other thing she said she didn't make sense. You killed somebody and you didn't go to jail. Well, he's got a trial coming. He's got a manslaughter trial coming. And the armorer in that case got sentenced to 18 months. I personally don't believe he'll be in jail, but that's besides the point. This woman's a lunatic. What do you think?
It takes a real special someone to make me side with Alec Baldwin in anything. Because like you, I don't like Alec Baldwin. I think he's a scumbag. I think he's always been a pompous, arrogant ass. But in this situation, I don't think Alec Baldwin did anything wrong. Smacking the phone out of her hand, she's lucky that's all that he did, because he's a well-known hothead. So these people, man, it's wild.
Like, you're not enduring us to your cause.
No. No, and what we're seeing is the lunatic left is going after the left. Like, Alec Baldwin's always been the left. And now the lunatic left looks at people like Alec Baldwin and says, you're not left enough, so I'm going to put my camera in your face and be a big pain in the ass for a long time. And you know who kind of agrees with us? Fetterman.
If you show up in a Starbucks with a bullhorn and start yelling at people, and that doesn't make you noble, it just makes you an asshole.
Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman, I'm telling you, after the stroke, it went away with the woke. He's been a whole new guy after that. He's better man now.
He's weren't there some pro-Hamas protesters outside of his house or apartment? He started flying the Israel flag right out above him.
He got up on the roof, and it was like Cub fans flying a W flag.
Yeah, trust me. These anti-Israel agitators that are blocking bridges and stuff like that and getting intimidating fellow college students, you're not endearing us to your cause at all. It's quite the opposite. It makes me want to go to a voting machine and vote for Trump 800 times over. That's all it makes me want to do.
And I can't believe you lunatics have put me in a position to support Alec Baldwin.
There it is.
That's the problem. You lunatics have put me in the position to be Team Baldwin in this situation, and I don't like that. Donald Trump blasting the anti-Israel protesters on these college campuses, calls them a disgrace, but then also points out that the commander-in-chief deserves a little bit of the blame here.
What's going on at the college level and the colleges, Columbia, NYU, and others, is a disgrace. And it's really on Biden. He has the wrong signal. He's got the wrong tone. He's got the wrong words. He doesn't know who he's backing. And it's a mess. And if this were me, you'd be after me. You'd be after me so much, but they're trying to give him a pass. But what's going on is a disgrace to our country. And it's all Biden's fault, and everybody knows it. He's got no message. He's got no compassion. He doesn't know what he's doing. He can't put two sentences together, frankly.
Actually, that's wrong, Mr. Trump. He's out on the campaign trail today talking about abortion rights.
Oh, okay. So nothing about anti-Semitism or the border or inflation?
No. Apparently the most important issue in this country right now is the overturning of Roe v. Wade and how that was the wrong decision and how the Supreme Court was wrong to do it, even though I remember when Ruth Bader Ginsburg said it was a bad law.
Did he talk about Uncle Bosie being eaten by cannibals? Did that get brought up? Do we know if that's been brought back to the table?
Best story ever.
So, Nige, I'm going to say something that I didn't think I would say. Angel Reese, voice of reason.
She was the LSU player that feuded with Caitlin Clark, or not feuded, but had that rivalry with Caitlin Clark, and was ultimately eliminated from the NCAA tournament by Iowa.
Right. But the year before, she had beat her in the championship game.
She like kind of waved, like trash talking or making hand gestures and stuff.
Which I'm here for all of that. Friendly competition, trash talk.
Sure.
I think it makes the sport better.
Angel Reese, after Iowa beat them this year, though, she kind of made herself out to be the victim tried to blame it on, I don't know, other things other than herself as to why they lost.
Right.
But whatever.
But she went on Twitter yesterday, a very simple tweet, quote, "Protect young women in sports," with multiple exclamation points, Nige.
Yeah, she didn't elaborate. I mean, there's this Title IX stuff with Joe Biden, how he's changed Title IX and to include transgender language in men and women's sports. And maybe that's what she was talking about. Maybe what she was talking about also is, have you heard reports of inappropriate pictures being circulated of Caitlin Clark, like AI type of pictures?
Yes. Now, she's had the same thing happen to her. Yes, Angel Reese.
Yes.
In a super inappropriate. Now, she's posed in bikinis for like the swimsuit issue and stuff. But we're talking about some next level.
So she didn't
photos.
Really elaborate on that. But yes, of course, it's something that is obvious. Protect young women in sports.
The timing, though, it is right there with Biden tampering with Title IX, basically saying it's okay for dudes to play ball against women. And that's not okay. That's 100% not okay. So, again, today, when I woke up, I didn't think I would be here defending Alec Baldwin and Angel Reese. But here we are.
And she was a fun sort of villain or rival in the college basketball games with Caitlin Clark. I tuned in because of that rivalry. And we'll see what happens in the WNBA. Didn't she go to Chicago?
She did. And I hope she embraces being the villain, like the rival to Caitlin Clark. If she embraces that, it's going to be good for the whole league.
Maybe villain's not the right word, but rivalry, definitely. I hope that continues.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
What is the name of the game we're about to play for these Grand Prix tickets?
We've done it before. It's Andretti, Petty, or Famous for Spaghetti.
Okay.
And caller 9 happened to be Terry. Terry, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel
back
Show.
How up, are you? Terry, back it up.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, good. Terry, this is how this game's going to work. I'm going to give you a fact about someone. It will either be a fact about Mario Andretti, IndyCar legend, Tom Petty, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, or Chef Boyardee, someone famous for spaghetti. You get 3 out of 5. We're going to give you these tickets to the Grand Prix, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Number 1, Andretti, Petty, or Famous for Spaghetti was the 1969 Indy 500 winner.
Andretti.
That's it. There's one down.
Wow, genius.
All right. Got to get 2 more. Here we go. Andretti, Petty, or Famous for Spaghetti sang Free Fallin'.
Tom Petty.
All right. Get this one correct, we're throwing a party. Andretti, Petty, or Famous for Spaghetti makes beefaroni.
Yeah, what's the three choices? Petty, Andretti, or?
Famous for Spaghetti.
Famous for Spaghetti.
There we go. I thought the awkward pause was he was considering, well, did Mario make beefaroni? I'm not really sure. Let me think about it.
You know, I believe
a good brand of it.
I believe Kramer fed the horse beefaroni before he took George's in-laws on a ride around the around Manhattan.
Caused the horse to have a little digestion problem.
Rusty! Rusty!
Terry, have fun at the race, man. I love going out to the track in May, and the Grand Prix is a great way to get it rolling. Stay on the line. Let Allison take care of you, okay?
Hey, I love listening to you guys. Thanks
right buddy. On. Thank you. If you need a reason to drink tonight, here's a little mood music, Nige. Do you know what this is?
Is that John Cena's music?
That is John Cena's music. John Cena is 47 years old today.
Oh, man. Looks great for 47 years
old. He's older than me. Like, I would have thought he was younger than that, but he's 47. And fun fact for John Cena, he's the number one wish granter all time for the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
May I take a point of privilege here real quick? I'd like to express, you know, the feelings when usually we're always bitching and moaning about something, a bad service. I got great service today from AAA's My Pit Crew. Jesse from My Pit Crew came out to the house because I had a flat tire and it was like on the rim flat. So I thought something was wrong. I thought I had a nail. I thought I was going to have to replace it. And Jesse did his work. He looked at the tire. I don't know what happened. The tire was fine and he didn't have to do anything, but he's out there for an hour just making sure my one tire didn't have like a hole or it wasn't, the rim wasn't carotid or anything like that. So Jesse from My Pit Crew, man, great job this morning. Thanks for taking care of me.
Now describe what My Pit Crew does.
Well, My Pit Crew could come fix your tires or they can put all new tires on your car. You know, no more sitting at the tire shop for 3 hours waiting to get your tires changed. It's through AAA. It's called My Pit Crew. And you can, they did it at work. They can do it outside your office.
Wherever you get stranded at, man, they'll come by and it's like a mobile pit crew. They'll jack up your car, put the tire on, they're in, they're out. And if you're a AAA member, you get a discount on the service.
So I like to acknowledge great service when I get it, man.
Absolutely. All right. Coming up next, prosecutor in the Delphi murder case. They've got a few issues about some of the things going on. We'll touch on that. An update from Columbia University. Imagine paying, you know, over $80,000 a year and being told your classes are now virtual for the rest of the year. And if that's not enough for you, another round of fun facts for kids.
No.
We've got all that. Caller roulette. Are you okay with this? It's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Nobody has more fun than we do. Keep it locked right here. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Hammer and Nigel.
You believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock it!
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there, the prosecutor in the Delphi murders case. They're arguing basically against the defense team's motion to suppress Richard Allen and his alleged confessions to the murders of Abby and Libby that he made while he was in prison awaiting trial.
The defense team, if you remember, they're saying that his, quote, confession, and I'm using air quotes there, was forced. He felt like he had to do it. And the things that he admitted to were factually inaccurate. He admitted that he had shot these young ladies and sexually assaulted them, but the autopsy report shows they were not shot and they were not sexually assaulted.
So I guess if I'm the prosecutor and the suspect is confessing to things that didn't happen, I don't think you'd want that in court, would you? Would you want those details in court? Or would you want just the simple fact that he confessed to the killings in court? That's interesting. You know, so what? Do you get what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying here. Is it really good for you to throw this out or lock it in? Because it's so crazy what he's done. But on one hand, he's admitting to it. But on the other hand, he lied about what happened.
Yeah, the same for the defense. They don't want that out there, or maybe they do. Maybe they're saying, yeah, this guy is crazy. Our client is not of sound mind. He's confessing to things that never even happened. And then you let the jury decide.
Or he was fearing for his safety. You know, the employees, the inmates, and maybe the guards were forcing him to say something because they didn't like him for one reason or the other. There's a lot of things in play here, but we're waiting for Judge Fran Gold to make a decision on whether or not this, quote, confession will be allowed to stay. Check this out, Nige. I'm reading this online. This is from thehill.com. The FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, has voted 3-2 to ban non-compete agreements that prevent tens of millions of employees from working for competitors or starting a competing business after they leave a job.
Yeah, I mean, we had to sign a non-compete. That was part of the deal.
Right.
It's usually standard in our business, in many businesses.
Meaning, even if we get fired tomorrow,
we can't go work at a competing radio station for 6 months, a year. I don't know. I need to go look at the contract.
Right. But each person negotiates a different deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's usually a non-compete involved. And earlier today, the FTC voted 3-2 to ban non-compete agreements. So we're going to have to dive a little bit more into this. We'll see if we can get a lawyer on to look at all the small print, the fine print here, because I can't imagine it just being wide open, the wild, wild west. I bet there's got to be some red tape
there's
here.
There's definitely some language that needs to be analyzed there, because all my life in radio, I've had to sign non-competes.
Right.
And that's not just in radio, just like if you work for, if you're an executive for Google. You can't work at Google and just all of a sudden go start working for another competing company.
Correct.
So this is what you're saying? Now you can?
That's what the FTC voted on.
It can't be just that simple.
So it just came down 3-2 vote. Again, we'll have to break this down, look at this tonight, and we'll have more for you tomorrow. Columbia University has announced classes will be virtual. Remote for the rest of the year because they can't get control of all the anti-Israel protesters happening on campus.
Some operation they're running there over at Columbia in New York. Like I said, Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots, pulled all of his funding, all of his donations. He's done with his alma mater. He's had enough of this crap.
And now there's a lot of students and parents of Columbia University that are calling for tuition refunds.
Yeah.
Because this is not what they signed up for. They signed up to have in-class instruction, but the school is saying no refunds. You're still going to get a lesson, no refunds, but imagine paying over $80,000 a year, you know, a semester, whatever it is, to go to Columbia, and you get told, you know, it's just like COVID, virtual classes now. That's a hard sell. That's not what you signed up. That's not what you're paying for.
You're an average, maybe middle class kid growing up in a Jewish family, and you want to go study at a prestigious college like Columbia, and you're having to worry every day that you're going to get shouted down by crazy anti-Israel, pro-Hamas protesters just so you could go get your degree?
Right.
That's what's happening. And not only Columbia, at Ivy League schools all across the country and other places, too.
Now, I know that it's not all just the students. There are some professionals involved here. Like, we saw this during the Summer of Love in 2020. Some of these, quote, mostly peaceful protesters.
Bad actors, I believe they're calling them.
They get bussed in, and they do this for a living. It's ridiculous, but it happens. But there are a lot of people on the campus that are taking part of this. And some of these places, they've set up Chaz-like communities. Remember when Chaz, that little community, was happening during the George Floyd riots in the northwest part of the country? That's happening on college campuses now. These pro-Hamas, anti-Jewish agitators.
How do they allow this? I mean, if you are peacefully protesting, that's one thing, but you're agitating, you're disrupting, and that's something different. I mean, there's people that were on the bridge, I believe in San Francisco, that were anti-Israel, pro-Hamas protesting. All those charges are gone.
They blocked that traffic for 4 hours. People were stuck on that bridge for 4 hours.
Or go to work, or pick your kids up, or go to the hospital. Yeah, you're not endearing people to, not one person stuck in traffic on the Golden Gate Bridge. You did not change their mind one bit, I guarantee you.
No, you're not helping your cause at all. My name is Jason Hammer. That is Big Nige.
Oh, hi.
One of the things that we get told a lot about our program is that we need to be a little bit more kid-friendly from time to time. We have some serious conversations here. You know, we talk about terror. We talk about shootings. It's the news of the day, and that's our job to bring it to you. But we get told sometimes, you got to remember, there are young kids listening to your show. So that's why we like to do this segment from time to time called Fun Facts for Kids.
It's time for Hammer and Nigel's Fun Facts for Kids.
These are true pieces of information that the younger listeners of our program can enjoy. Like this. The former chief of the FBI's Elite Serial Crime Unit said that a very conservative estimate is that there are between 25 and 50 active serial killers right now in the United States.
Fun facts for kids.
That's not a fun fact for kids or adults.
How about this one? According to scientists, poop can get through up to 10 layers of toilet paper.
Fun facts for kids.
According to a new hygiene study, even at a young age, you have most likely shaken hands with at least 6 men who have not washed their hands after fondling themselves.
Fun facts for kids.
At least is the key word there, Nige.
Yeah,
key
words. The words fondling themselves should not be in a segment at all in any way, shape, or form in a segment called Fun Facts for Kids.
Hey, kids, do you like cows? Do you like farms? Did you know that 3,000 cows are brutally slaughtered each year just to supply the NFL with enough leather to make their footballs?
Fun Facts for Kids.
I don't believe that one.
Something that the younger listeners of the Hammer and Nigel show can enjoy.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Are you really okay?
Are you okay?
Everything's gonna be okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm pretty f***ing far from okay.
Are you okay with this? On the Hammer and Nigel.
Oh, man, controversy with Tom Brady. Autograph collectors are fuming following a $3,600 photo op and signing with Tom Brady. They say the Super Bowl winning quarterback did a rush job on his signatures, leading to subpar autographs on rare items. Hammer, are you okay with this?
No, I'm not okay with this because it seems like some wires were crossed here. I read a little bit up on this story. So whoever this group was that put this event on, I guess they didn't tell Tom Brady that he was going to be sitting down signing autographs for a long time.
I think it was just like his book or something like that.
Right.
Like that, somebody's dirty pair of cleats.
Right. People were bringing in helmets, bringing in cleats, bringing in jerseys. And there was a line that was really long. And Brady, I guess, was surprised by all this. So he was trying to get through the line as fast as he can. So his signature got a little sloppy.
And again, then people paid $3,600 for this.
Right. So I guess what they wanted was a more legible signature from Tom Brady. But, I mean, he signed it, though, even though it's sloppy. Most autographs are. If you were an autograph hound, would you be upset that even though it is really Tom Brady that signed it, it looks kind of scribbly?
Yeah. Yeah, I would. I mean, this experience with Tom Brady included dinner, a speech by Tom Brady, and some sort of ride in a yacht with Tom Brady. It was a whole kind of thing. And I read he was caught off guard by the autograph portion of this thing. So
you got to ride in a yacht, you got to listen to him speak, you got to get a picture, and he still signed something, even though it wasn't really legible.
Yeah.
You'd consider that a bad experience, even if you paid $3,600?
Man, some of these autograph collectors are pretty finicky, especially if they're going to try to turn around and sell it.
Right. And that's what it's all about.
Yes.
So, like, I'm surprised Brady didn't personalize each one of those things to make sure it doesn't go on the market.
And here's the other thing. If you're Tom Brady, why are you doing events like this? I mean, I know you could probably make, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in a few hours, but that's pocket change. That's couch change to him.
Right.
Like, why even mess with it in the first place?
Screw the autograph stuff. Just do the speaking tour. You know, people would pay big money to have Tom Brady come and speak to their groups and events, you know, almost like a TED Talk almost.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to sit down and, you know, get yelled at because his signature is too scribbly.
Here, speaking of Tom Brady, there's a trailer out for Tom Brady getting roasted. It's called The Greatest Roast of All Time, Tom Brady. It's going to be live on Netflix the night of Cinco de Mayo. Here's the trailer. We don't have to play this whole thing. Here's a trailer with Kevin Hart and the Roastmaster, Jeff Ross.
The man, the arena, the roast of Tom Brady, live on Netflix. No helmets, no mercy, no Brady rule.
No problem.
The greatest roast of all time, Tom Brady, live, hosted by me, Kevin Hart, with a lineup of surprise guests.
We're coming for you, pretty boy.
I'm unroastable. Let's go.
I'm unroastable. That's Tom Brady at the end. What do you think? You okay with the Tom Brady roast?
Yeah, and I like, and we've talked about this before, I like that Netflix is doing more live stuff. I think this is going to be good. Now, those old Comedy Central roasts that they used to do, where Jeffrey Ross was the roast master, I thought those were really good. And now they can go to Netflix where they can say anything they want. Nothing can get beeped out.
It's live.
Live. Yeah. Anything goes. I just wish Greg Giraldo were alive for this.
Oh, man, he was one of the best, wasn't he?
He was by far the greatest roaster I've ever seen. If you need some time to kill, go on YouTube and just search Greg Giraldo Comedy Central Roasts. He took it to a next level, man. He was so good. But yeah, I think this is going to be pretty solid.
An Australian hospital is asking snakebite victims to stop bringing the snakes to the ER. The hospital's director said that having a live snake in the ER puts the staff and patients at risk. He also said it delays the time it takes for patients to get treated. Are you okay with this? What's going on here?
Yes, I'm okay with this because they have to say this for a reason. Because these crazy Crocodile Dundee sons of you-know-whats are going into the ER, got bit by a snake. Here he is.
Crikey.
Right? And they're showing you the wound, and they're also showing you the snake that did it. And the poor doctors are like, we can help you with the wound, but would you mind disposing of the snake that you brought to our hospital here?
Are they bringing it to the hospital so the doctor will know which sort of medicine? Are there different medicines to administer depending on the snake and the venom?
Maybe, but the doctors are saying, look, we're good. You don't need to bring the snake in here. You don't need to show us that it was a cobra. You don't need to show us it was a python. We can fix you without you bringing it in. Which brings us to great moments in snake history.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
This was some chick that found a live snake hiding on a shelf at Target.
I thought it was a child's toy. So I thought, oh my goodness, somebody's pranking me. Where's the camera? You know, this is a joke, because it was totally still. I was going to take a photo. The tongue came out. And that's how I knew. This is a real snake. I looked up and down the aisle. I was freaking out, calmly freaking out. This is North Carolina, and this is snake season, and there is a snake on top of the baked beans here.
I would not be calmly freaking out. I would be freaking the F out.
Right. Let's see. Bush's baked beans. Ah!
Snake!
Great moments in snake history. Snakes come in different varieties, including the beer snake, the cup snake. So listen to this. This was a couple of New York Mets fans. And if you don't know what a cup snake is,
oh,
or a beer snake.
I know where you're going with this. Yeah.
When people chug their beers at a baseball game in those plastic little cups, they start stacking them up and it makes a really big snake. And you try to get it as big as you can.
Yes.
The broadcasters from the New York Mets found the guy that organized the beer snake.
Can you explain how the snake begins?
Oh, for sure, Stevie. First off, I want to say hi to my mom, Kelly Johnson, my family, James, Allie, Jim. Love you guys. Basically, the snake starts 6th, 7th inning. Everyone's got a few beverages in. Someone stands up and goes, give me your cups. Give me your cups. You see a snake form up in the beginning. Everyone throws the cups. Now what? Was it the 8th inning? 9th inning?
7th.
Basically, the 8th. Yeah.
And it goes all the way up.
All the way up. That's all it forms. Pretty simple.
My favorite part of that is, what's the inning? The seventh. Basically the eighth.
And the snake of cups, the cup of snakes or whatever you call it. I mean, it goes for 20 rows.
Yes.
Up the side of the steps.
I've seen in Wrigley where they've connected the upper deck to the lower deck. They've made that happen in Wrigley before.
Wow.
And last but certainly not least, great moments in snake history.
I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
Now, that's Samuel L. Jackson and Snakes on a Plane, but if you watch it on basic cable, where they don't beep it out, they change the words, yes. It sounds like this.
I have had it with these monkey-fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
Great moments in snake history.
Buckle up. Anything can happen here.
Oh, hell yeah. Let it ride. Let it ride.
Hammer and Nigel present Caller Roulette.
Now, most responsible radio shows have a system set up where you call into the show. The producer will talk to you off the air. Producer will find out what you want to talk about.
A call screener is what they're referred to.
Correct.
Sometimes.
This segment, we don't do that. You call Allison, you give her your name, and Nigel and I fly blind into the wild, wild west here. We call it Caller Roulette. So if you're online right now, again, turn your radio down, be brief, do not swear. That's all we're asking. Anything goes other than that. Brian, you are up first. Welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Gentlemen, good afternoon. How are you?
Awesome.
Brian.
Hey, listen. Real quick, man, I want to talk about the crime in Marion County that we don't have down in Brown County. I moved down there about 5 years ago now. Let me tell you, I moved right before the pandemic, and I got extremely lucky to move before all that went to you know what. But anyway, listen, I'm glad I don't have to give my tax dollars to Marion County. I don't have to worry about the purple line or the blue line or the red line. I don't have to worry about anything in Marion County because Brown County is so peaceful and laid back. We have 17,000 residents. It's like your own militia. One more thing.
I was with you until the word militia. But
go ahead, Brian.
One more thing, man. You guys got to come down to Nashville. The town would like to see a lot of more visitors. It's safe. Good time.
Hammer and Nigel road trip to Nashville. I like it. Let's do it.
Yes, sir. Hammer and Nigel road trip to Nashville. Hey, you can stop by Moonacres and we can just party right out there on Franklin Street.
Right on, Brian, the unofficial mayor of Brown County. Thank you so much. Yeah, I love some Brown County, man.
Oh,
I used to DJ
beautiful.
Tons of weddings down there. The Story Inn and some other places. I got you. Phil, you are up next. Welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Yeah, hey, guys. Just real quick, you were talking about the prosecution in the Delphi case a while ago and talking about how the prosecutor wouldn't want something to be, you know, to get out.
Sure.
That's actually just, I mean, I know it's not something you guys deal with all the time. That's called exculpatory evidence. You can't hide any of that. That has to come out. Everything has to come out. You don't get to put your best, you know, face forward on a case. You don't get to put lipstick on it. It's this is what they said, period. You don't get to pick and choose. Everything comes out, or you get in lots and lots of trouble.
Phil, I assume you have a legal background of some type?
A little.
Okay. So does the judge have the ability to throw some things out of the court, though?
Absolutely. Yes. There are things that they're not allowed to allow in, hearsay, that sort of thing. But, yeah, I mean, if you have evidence, I mean, in this particular case, if a guy said things that he did something that didn't really happen, yes, absolutely. That's exculpatory. And that would definitely be the judge would have the final say on what happens. But if the judge found out you didn't allow that to come in, that you somehow edited the statement so it didn't bother saying that he admitted to doing things that didn't happen to the victims, I can imagine jail time for anybody that would do that.
Well, I don't think that's what happened necessarily. I think they're just trying to decide whether or not to let that in.
You said, well, the prosecutor has no choice.
Okay.
If somebody says something, that's in.
Got it.
Okay.
Thank you, Phil. Very helpful. Tim, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
How you doing? Now, you do need to come down to Nashville, down there, Brown County, that's where I'm from, too. But we do stuff a little differently down here. I bought a house. I'm talking about these squatters in these roads. We had bought a house about 8 years ago down here, and there were some squatters in it. Well, we didn't call the police like most of us don't do down here. We decided to throw a 6-foot python in there and a pit bull, and you should have seen them running out of that house. Now, we need to do this in the streets. If you can't do it with that tire, rope around, tie into your bumper, and I guarantee they're going to get up and move. Just an opinion, but come on down to Nashville. They got a couple nice places there.
Where does one purchase a python in Nashville?
Well, it was a friend of mine. Snakes. Everybody knows everybody down here. But I guarantee you one thing, them damn squatters never come back.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate that.
I love Tim.
Love that. Mike, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show, Mike.
Good evening, guys. Just want to let you know that, man, I am excited to see Scott Dixon at Tales from the Track.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. Got your tickets lined up, man? You ready to go?
Oh, man, absolutely. I got them first thing that morning when they went on sale.
Yeah, the Iceman's going to be cool. Like 2008 winner, just won in Long Beach this past weekend. And he's a fun dude. He's got some good stories.
Yeah, my son works for HMD Motorsports.
Oh, cool. Right on.
He's an engineer.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Mike.
I'm being inundated with requests for people that wanted to go but just took their sweet-ass time trying to buy tickets. And I'm like, sorry, I've already talked to Trisha. There's nothing.
And again, we've said this before.
We got a contest going on, right?
Yeah. Contest page at WIBC.com. But we were talking about this earlier. Our listeners, and really the WIBC listeners, Tony's and Casey and Rob's, Tony Kennett's, the most loyal listeners on the planet. We are so fortunate to have the group of people that listen to this program every single day. I've worked in radio since I was a teenager. You have too, Nige, and I've never seen anything like this. This is so awesome, and we're very lucky to have the jobs we have with the listeners like you guys. All right, now that I've kissed your ass enough, Jake, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show. What's up, Jake?
Oh, Earth Riders, great Earth Rider, thanks for the changing seasons and the birds chirp, chirp. And for the month of May in Indiana, we've got the Pacers, we've got the Racers, baby. It's time to Indianapolis, Rojana!
It sounded like Joe Biden at the beginning of that phone call. Did I hear a
Wheezy Rider? I mean, I think it's what he was going for, because that's a Biden quote. Sean, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show. What do you want to talk about?
Man.
Hey, guys. Big fan of your show.
Thank you.
Yes. I do have a beef, though, real quick. I'm a big fan of Mock. I'm a big fan of, I listen to Rob Kendall. I've heard them both come on the program and say, basically, people are voting for Trump. Half the nation are idiots. I took offense to that, and I was pretty upset about that. Mock saying that you've got a rock star in DeSantis, but people are voting for this guy who has 36 indictments. Saying that is kind of like saying, well, you believe those indictments are just and fair. So that bothered me. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to listen to these guys anymore. But I still listen to you. So.
Well, we appreciate that. And again, we ask them for their opinions, right? And they give us their opinions. And listen, if you listen to our show long enough, you're probably not going to like every single thing I or Nigel say.
I'm not sure I understand what he was upset at.
Well, he's upset that Rob and Mock, when we have her on Rotating Mondays, weren't all in on the Trump train. Because Mock was a DeSantis supporter from the beginning, and Rob brings up some different perspectives.
But we're past that now. We're past, it's a binary choice now. It's Trump or Biden.
Right.
Got news for you.
Zachary, you get the last word, my friend. Welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
That's awesome. Hey, I listen, my radio don't come off 93.1. I listen to you guys every day. You guys do a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hell yeah.
Yeah, man. I kind of wanted to expose an insurance company, if I might. Me and my family, we just experienced a 2 years ago, we lost our home to a fire. And,
I'm sorry.
You know, no one likes to go through that. And it was our first time, obviously, experiencing it. And we went with a company that our insurance had recommended, and they were out of Ohio. And I live in the small town of Spiceland. It's just the east of Indy, about 35 miles. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I've heard of Spiceland, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't. I'm so grateful to be a part of such a great community. So
what happened, bud?
Well, they come in and said that, hey, this is what we can do for you. We left it in their hands. We're like, hey, if you guys want to put it back however, you can put it back the same. But the contractor decided to add a floor plan to the upstairs, two, three-bedroom and a bath, full bath upstairs. Well, long story short, after the completion of the home, we end up with a one-bedroom and a one-bath upstairs. And that we did not want, they mismeasured the trusses that went on the house when they put the siding on. They never finished it. They never finished it. They wanted the last payment on the last draw for them. And I said, look, we'll pay it when you come back and put gutters on my house because it's not done. He put a lien on my home.
Mm. Ooh.
They put a lien on it. And this company is called Balefish.
Okay. Balefish. So, Zachary, what I would do if I were you, you know, I know money might be tight.
Better it's a rough economy. Bureau.
Better Business Bureau, lawyer up. Once a lot of these companies start hearing from your representation, sometimes magically they change their tune. That would be what I would do if I were you. Okay?
Well, see, we did. We contacted a lawyer and two of them, and every time we do, it seems like they don't want to work. Like we went through the whole spiel. At the end of the day, they never contacted us back.
Reach out to the Attorney General's office as well. Maybe that's an approach you can do. Just maybe have somebody provide a little muscle and scare these people into not being such, you know, creeps, for a better choice of words. So there you go. All right, out of time. Caller Roulette, awesome as always. You guys rock. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.